Everyone's an expert in something. Don't believe me? Well, you should, because I won $9 playing Simpsons and Mets trivia. FleetWit is a trivia app where it pays to know sports. Like, it actually pays. Challenge players one-on-one trivia battles in over 250 different categories. Whether you're a sports fan or a Disney nut or a Simpsons fan, there's something for everyone on FleetWit. So try it now. Enter the code PRESSROW at checkout for 20 free credits. 20 free credits. Download FleetWit from the App Store or go to FleetWit.com/PressRow to start winning today. This episode of the Press Row podcast is also brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Franchise Hockey 5, now available worldwide on Steam or right from OTPDevelopments.com, and Out of the Park Baseball 19, also available worldwide on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com or on Origin. And if you've got Origin access, you can go play it right now. And, of course, coming soon, like really soon, next week, maybe 2 weeks, you got our Perfect Team public beta, which is a real game changer for Out of the Park Baseball 19. We're very excited about it. Check out Out of the Park Baseball 19. Check out Franchise Hockey Manager 5. Support your indie sports game developers. Everyone at Out of the Park Developments is really happy and proud with the games that we make, and we would love for you to play them too. Enjoy the show. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Room podcast. I'm your host today, Rich Grisham, and I'm so happy to be joined by two of my absolute favorite people in the world. I don't know the last time the three of us have been on the show together. All of us have been on the show many times, but I don't know. It's been a while since it's been just the three of us. Of course, the reason it's just the three of us is that Brian is suspended, and he knows what he did. He knows what he did. TJ, that sports gamer, how are you, sir?
Rich, I am doing phenomenal, and we don't have to lie to the people. The reason we are doing this is because Brian DM'd me to record last night, and I just never responded to him.
That is a little too much inside baseball, sir. A little too much.
I mean, he's not on the priority DM list. He's like second class.
Nothing like putting it right out there for everyone to know. That's cold. Good stuff. And of course, our other very good friend back for the first time in probably 4 to 6 weeks, Chris Jardine, a.k.a. Snaggle J. Mr. Jardine, how are you, sir?
I feel like it's probably been 7 or 8 months, but what? I don't think it's been that long. To answer your first question, I'm pretty sure the last time we were all on the show together, it was probably griping about MLB The Show. I probably figure that was on the agenda. And also, I feel like you should have an Atlanta Canadian on the show every week. I mean, Seward and I could just rotate, you know, we could each take a shift, and then you always have Atlanta Canadian representation on the podcast.
I am the first to sign up for that, because I'm a big fan of both of yours. So if you're both on every week, the show will be better for it. So let's do that. Seward, it's right out there for you, man. In fact, there's a high degree of certainty that Seward will be back on the show next week, because that's got to be when we do our deep dive on Forza Horizon.
I was going to say that he was on, I think it was NASCAR Heat you guys were talking about last week?
That was last week, yeah.
And yeah. Yes, with the big Forza push, and it's a very fantastic game. He's definitely one of the top guys to be talking about it, so.
For sure.
Yeah, and speaking of Seward, I don't know if you guys know, he's a great guy. Yes. And coming up, I believe, first weekend in November.
Yes.
Seward is going to be participating in the Extra Life charity gaming marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So will I. So will Chris.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing a lot of good for a lot of kids.
Well, so let's...
Extra-life.org. Go check it out.
Well, I was going to say, instead of ending with that, let's start with that. Talk a little bit more about that. You know, what are you guys all doing? When exactly is it? Starting when, ending when, and how can people help you do it?
Chris, since you're going first, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so the actual game day itself is November 3rd. Unfortunately for me, that is the same weekend as I have a family commitment. So I'm actually going to be doing my 24-hour stream starting on October 27th at 8 a.m. Eastern time. It goes for 24 straight hours. And it's funny because Greg and I actually raise money for the same hospital, the IWK Foundation in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Last year, We were the number one and two fundraisers for that hospital.
Well done.
I will not specify what order that was in, but we were one and two, and hopefully we're one and two again. I know Greg's campaign is off to a very good start. I think he's already raised over $4,000.
That's amazing.
This year. So yeah, you know what? It's my third year. It's been I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. And I know TJ has a lot of fun doing it too. And I mean, we have a whole community of us that really enjoy doing it, and it's for an amazing cause, right? Like, think of another cause where you can sit, play video games for literally an entire day straight and raise money to help sick children. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And TJ, what are the details about what you're doing?
For me, I'm going to be doing it on game day, November 3rd. Going to start at either 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and try to go for 24. They keep saying it's 24 hours, but I feel like the last handful of years, they keep doing it on the day that we move the clocks back an hour. So it ends up actually being 25 hours if you go from like 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. So yeah, I'm going to try to do that. I feel like in my old age now, that's real hard to do. 25 hours.
Yeah,
dude. You know what's even worse to do? Breaking it up over 2 days and trying to do like 12 hours each day, you get real burned out. So yep. I'm going back to 24 straight hours.
Nice. I am happy, and I will support both of you and Stuart for sure.
We all appreciate
the park, it. Out of the park, we'll definitely be supporting you guys. But I'm you talk about getting older. You know, I got a couple more laps around than you, TJ. There ain't no way I can do 24. I don't know if I could do 12. First of all, I'm not even a professional streamer like you guys, but that's a lot of hours, man. Whew, that gets tough.
Yeah. And I think the thing was, like, when I started doing it, this is going to be my 9th year now, I believe. I was like real hard on myself, where it was like, I must be playing video games for 24 hours.
Yeah.
This year, I think I'm going to be like, I am going to take a lunch break and I am going to take a dinner break. Yeah. And I might have to go walk around every once in a while because.
Well, that sounds like a good idea anyway, right? So I think you should be, and you should, I mean, that's part of it, right? Come on, you don't have to be glued in your chair for 24 hours. You're streaming your video game 24 hours, right? That could mean, you know, like you said, taking a walk around, grabbing a little lunch, having a little dinner. No shame in that.
Yeah, ever since I learned about these crazy Guinness Book of World Records things they have, I think I watched, where is Dan Reichert from? Was it Game Informer before?
Probably.
They did some long Guinness World Record breaking stream of something. And the Guinness World Record rule was like, for every hour, you get like a 15-minute break. And I was like, that's ridiculous. But yeah, I will be taking ample use of breaks. And now with a kid, you know, I gotta put him to sleep and stuff, and
of course
make sure he's all happy.
It's like the most laid, like it's such a laid back thing, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny. I had the opportunity to go to Orlando to attend Extra Life's yearly event that they do at Disney World, called Extra Life United, and got to meet a whole bunch of people who have, you know, that were involved in starting the charity and that maintain the charity and volunteers and streamers and content creators. And it's just amazing how every single person involved with Extra Life is the most laid back person you've ever met. It's like, it's funny because I mean, TJ and I in our various gaming communities, you know, that are often filled with drama and negativity and, you know, he said, she said battles on an almost daily basis. And then you have this wonderful community of people who are all dedicated to raising money for sick children that, you know, nothing bothers them and they couldn't be more laid back about it. And I agree with TJ. I really changed last year, like my mentality going into it, that, you know, it wasn't as much of a marathon as it just was like an experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, to make it through the 24 hours and to have my wife and my children involved at various points and doing ridiculous things like taking shots of hot sauce whenever anyone donated $25 and shaving my head into it. But it's all in good fun, right? I mean, you know, like that's the thing. It's all part of the experience.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to doing it this year.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, that's awesome. And well done, guys, because it takes a lot of time and effort and planning, a lot more than just the 24 hours. And I put just in air quotes. So thank you on behalf of everybody who's a parent, you know, which is exactly what, like what you said, Chris, what this is about. Yeah. Okay, so it's the best time of the year in all ways, as far as I'm concerned. You've got in real sports, the baseball playoffs, which are spectacular, although TJ, I'm sorry about your Braves. They had a great season.
Hey, man, I just got to keep telling on myself. We were like, in my mind, a lot of people are saying they were a year ahead of schedule. I mean, in my mind, we were kind of 2 years ahead of schedule because I was like, maybe we get to 500 this year. Maybe next year we get a wild card. We won the division this year.
Right.
So I'm real happy about that.
A lot of good year. It was a tough way to lose. But like, and that's the thing about baseball, right? There's a lot more chances to lose than there used to be when we first started watching it, right? Between, you know, either if certainly the wild card game and then the division series and then the championship series, there's just, it's tough, but they had a great year. So you've got that going on. You've got the NFL in full gear. You've got college football. You've got the NHL, which started, by the way, with two straight Devils victories, including a 6-0 victory over the Washington Capitals. And you've also got the NBA coming regular season starting next week. And then from the sports game landscape, it's all out there. It's now just time to like sit back and enjoy and pick your favorite. It's so great. And the games are continuing to be updated constantly. So like, what are you guys playing? So I want to start with you, TJ. Like, what are you playing? What's your pecking order? What's your go-to? And how are you playing those things right now?
Well, my number one thing right now is currently redacted. So we can't talk about that right now. Number two has got to be NBA 2K19. I am really just loving my career, having a lot of fun. Right now, I'm in a very crucial point. I'm only a couple weeks. I'm playing like every game, so I'm not like super deep into the season or anything. But I'm at that crucial point where I realize that we don't play enough minutes. Like the default when you go into my career, like the quarter length is not long enough. So my team's only scoring like 75 points a game, and literally every other team in basketball is scoring 100 points a game. So I'm working on cranking that up, trying to find a good difficulty balance and minute thing to try to get some realistic numbers going on. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I just feel like this is NBA 2K right now is just the game that I want to play when I'm going to sit down and play a video game. Like I still like Madden. I still like jumping in there a little bit. I really do not like playing MLB the Show right now. Like having no fun, even like games I win in MLB the Show. I'm just completely done with that game this year. And I still can't believe that because that was the game I played till February. Did I stop playing it last year? I don't even think I did. I think I just played pretty much straight on till the new game. NBA 2K, Madden a little bit of FIFA. But let me tell you about a little game that I just jumped back into earlier this week. And let me tell you how angry Chris is because I slide into his DMs all day today talking about this amazing game. Maybe you've heard of it, called League of Legends by Riot Games.
Never heard of it.
Apparently, I stopped playing in October of 2015, and now I am back on board 100% with this game. I'm back being Volley Bear. I'm back biting people, throwing out my thunderous roar, flipping guys over, flash flipping, the move of the century. I'm just in a good place with all video games right now, except for MLB, which is the most buck wild thing in my mind.
Can I just say, I didn't understand a single thing you just said.
Dude, flash flip.
Not even a small. Feel free. Listen, if you guys are listening to this right now and you don't understand a word TJ just said, just go slide in to my Twitter at SnaggleJ and send me a GIF of a thumbs up so that I know that you have no idea what TJ's talking about as well.
Flash flip is a high level technique where, because you can flash like a certain distance, add another champion, and Volley Bear, the greatest champion of the game, his Q flips a guy back over you. So you can like close a gap, flip him. He's even further behind. Your whole team can just jump on him. I had an Amumu try to give me a hug earlier this morning, and I just destroyed him. I bit him. It was great. Amazing.
Stay tuned.
League of Legends, free game. If you're not playing, you should be playing it.
Stay and tuned also to TJ's career. New podcast, LOL Weekly.
Yeah, I do that. I feel like they haven't been putting out a lot of champions. That's how I was able to figure out when I actually stopped playing. I could see like the last champion that came out. And I feel like there's only been like 8 or 10 since then. And that was 3 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like, not out yet, but recently, I guess a lot of different game journalists went to Denmark to check out Hitman 2. And that looks really good. Now they have a multiplayer mode where you can play one-on-one and you both have to kill the same person, and if one person does it they get a point, but if the other person kills their target within 20 seconds that point gets nullified and you play to 5 points. That looks really good. I need to pick up Forza. There's a lot of good games right now, and there's a lot of games that I'm just not going to even touch because there's already so many good games right now.
This episode is sponsored by Nighthawk Pro Gaming from Netgear, rated 2018's top performing gaming router by PC Gamer and IGN. You know, there's no question that online gaming demands a stable and low latency connection. Running multiple connected devices will cause network congestion that most gateways simply can't handle. Switching your existing gateway or router to an XR500 gaming router is the easiest way to improve your online connectivity and online gaming experience with the biggest impact. The XR500 router creates an express lane just for your gaming to give you incredible speed and no lag. It's purpose-built to lower your ping, stabilize your connection, and help you game at incredible speeds. With this high-performance gaming router, you have complete control of your gaming experience. Keep your game alive with features like geo-filtering, traffic prioritization, and device management. The Nighthawk Pro Gaming Router transforms your gaming experience and gives you the power to win. So don't compete with other online devices for bandwidth. Save the competition for the game. Visit netgear.com/NPG and learn how you can join the No Lag crew today.
So on the same, you know, same question, Chris, like now that you can play anything, what are you playing? Where are you spending the most time? Where are you spending some of the time, and where are you not spending time that you kind of wish you were?
I think so. If you look previous to today, because today has been Black Ops 4 from the moment I get home from work until the moment I came on to record this podcast, trying out Black Ops 4 and its blackout battle royale mode, which is admittedly a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the beta. I was really looking forward to it coming out today. In terms of what I'm spending my time on, I'm still playing Madden. I still have a Madden franchise that I actively play and that I stream once a week. I had been playing a fair bit of NHL. Unfortunately, some recent updates to the game has curbed my enjoyment of the game a little bit.
Let's talk about this, because I saw you tweet that, right? And we had a brief Twitter conversation. And basically, my understanding is that, you know, your reaction to playing this is when it came out, they had it right, and this patch got it wrong. Is that kind of the deal?
Yeah. Like,
and what is it that was right, and what is it that has been changed?
So two of my biggest things that I've raved about NHL since the game came out was the improvements that they made to the skating, where the skating feels more realistic, you know, that it's a more one-to-one with your joystick, and it just feels like how an actual skater would feel, and that there was differences between, you know, a guy with 90 speed and a guy with 70 speed. And the other part of it was, they had really curbed back the poke checking mechanic, which if you played any games online in NHL 18, it was just literally people going around spamming the poke check button. It was, you know, in my opinion, online was unplayable for that reason, because there was no penalties called, and it was just that was the defensive tactic. You didn't have to know how to play defense. You just had to know how to use the poke check button. Both of those had been fixed for NHL 19. I said, and I'm on the record on multiple platforms as saying it, when NHL 19 released, I felt like it was the best representation of 6-on-6 hockey that had ever been made, ever, not close, leaps and bounds ahead of NHL 18, because you had to learn how to play positional defense, which is a key point of hockey. The skating felt realistic. It just, the gameplay overall was amazing. And a few weeks ago, they made some changes that curb some of those nerfings of the poke check a little bit, which kind of introduced it back into the game. And they reverted to a more NHL 18 feel with the skating. So, you know, basically any player could stop on a dime and pull crazy agile moves. And, you know, I think the biggest point of contention with it was the majority of people were happy with how the game was playing. I follow probably 8 to 10 NHL EA game changers who were all happy with how the game was playing. That's their core feedback mechanism, surprised and somewhat disappointed that they made these changes and were, you know, a couple of weeks later, and there was a small tuner that was released yesterday that really didn't revert back to anything. I don't really have a whole lot of time with it, so I don't want to pass judgment on the most recent tuner that came out. But up until that point, I was really enjoying playing NHL, and it was just one of those things where I feel like they made a move to lessen the experience, and I wasn't a big fan.
What else?
It's funny. I've actually recently started playing NCAA 14 again.
Saw that.
I've been playing a Duke Blue Devils franchise on stream, or Dynasty, I suppose, on stream. We got to use proper terms, which people have really been enjoying. I've really been enjoying. We've had some deep discussions about how the game still withstands the test of time with its Dynasty mode and all the different options that are within there. Like TJ, I really wish I was playing MLB The Show, but that game to me is basically unplayable at this point for a variety of reasons. Server issues. I'm so far behind on the content releases that I wouldn't even know where to start to try to keep up. So unfortunately, MLB The Show for me is a way for till the next one comes out. And I think it's still very exciting, you know, what we have coming up in a non-sports term. I mean, the rest of this year is still packed with releases. You know, we're a few weeks away from Red Dead 2. Fallout 76 is less than a month away. And then I know Rich, you're a big Switch guy, and Pokemon's coming out, Smash is coming out. And funny, I actually picked up the Switch version of LA Noire a few weeks ago. I think it was maybe just a week or so ago. Which I have never played. So I've actually been playing through that a little bit too. So I'm all over the map in terms of eras and what games I'm playing right now. But you know what? I think the big thing is that I think it's just a great time to enjoy playing video games. There's so much to play, no matter what your genre of choice is. There's just so many amazing, amazing games to play right now that I don't know how you can't find something to play that is just top shelf.
Well, you it's impossible, because yeah, there are so many top shelf things. And speaking of top shelf, I have been on the road all week, but last weekend, I literally left on Monday and it's now Friday. I'm just getting back. But last weekend, I played a significant amount of Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah.
And it is spectacular. And by the way, anyone who has heard anyone talk about it has heard that already. It's not exactly breaking news, you know, a week or 2 weeks after its release. But, you know, similar to your sentiment, I mean, if you have an Xbox, you have to, or an Xbox One, you just, and you like video games in any way, shape, or form, just sign up for the Xbox Games Pass, because just by doing that for $4 or $9 to like just get in the door, you get to play Forza Horizon 4 Unlimited. It's an amazing game. It looks spectacular. the talk about variety. You know, variety is difficult to do well for a lot of different racing games. A lot of racing games get a certain kind of race just right, but there's a ton of variety in Forza Horizon 4. And I'm only, you know, probably 4 hours in. I'm going to spend a lot more time this weekend playing it. It's very, so far, very generous with awarding you with in-game currency. I have, again, I'm what, 4 hours in? I have like 16 cars in my garage, and I haven't really even had to spend any of my money. I got probably 2.5 million credits. So from that nice perspective, it feels very rewarding. You just get rewarded no matter what you do. The cars are all real, and there are mud races, and there are stunt driver events, and there are traditional three-lap races, and there are traditional point-to-point races, and there's all sorts of really interesting, fun, spectacular-looking, spectacular-sounding, very configurable as well. Like, I'm, you know, not for nothing, I'm not that good at video games, but I am pretty good at Forza video games, and I include Forza Motorsport in that too. You know, for you know, I always put the difficulty settings a little higher in Forza, and I do here too, with like only having the line on the turns and having the driver avatars be above average. You know, sort of everything's like bumped up like one in the sliders. So I've got a lot of experience with this franchise, and I'm pretty good at it, and I love it. And TJ, you've got an Xbox, and you're not playing Forza Horizon 4. Do I have that right?
I'm sitting here thinking of how I want to purchase the game, because it's like, oh, well, I remember, I believe Stuart was saying on the Player One podcast that there might be a new 2 week trial out there to download. So I might do that. Then I'm like, do I just buy the game? Then I'm like, do I just buy the full version, the $100 version of the game?
Well, why don't
you just get a year of Games Pass?
Why don't you have that?
I just don't play my Xbox like that. And also I got the free month of Games Pass when I got my Xbox One X.
Right.
There just wasn't a ton of games like that I really like over there.
I love my favorite thing is all the Xbox 360 games. I dabble in those regularly. So most of them I only play for a little bit, but I got sucked into like 3 months of playing the entire Toy Soldiers franchise, for example, through Games Pass. All 360 games. Yeah. And they're great. Great, great, great.
Yeah. My thing was like, same with you know, games with gold and the free games with PlayStation Plus. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna download these games. I just don't know if I'm ever gonna get to it. And then, you know, spending $100 a year for games that I might just never get to feels a little weird.
Well, I'm telling you,
I don't know. I definitely want Forza though. So
yeah, well, you should get it.
I might just get Forza and do that.
It's as someone who doesn't have an Xbox. When a new Forza Horizon comes out, it's the one game that makes me want to buy an Xbox. Mm-hmm. I have watched, I would say if I was being conservative, 10 to 12 hours of people playing Forza Horizon since the game has come out. And there's nothing I've seen that has detracted me from, you know, spending a few minutes at work every day scouring for Xbox One X deals. Like it's that good. It's that game that sells that particular console. It's the epitome of what a good exclusive should be.
Agreed.
It's fun, it's social, it's an amazingly well done game.
I love seeing all my friends driving all over the place.
I think for any podcast or publication that considers racing games to be sports games,
which this one does,
I think it's immediately in the conversation for game of the year.
Yeah.
Has to be, because it's so well done. They have nailed integrating a social game into a fantastic racing game where you can just turn it on and pick it up and be like, okay, what are we going to do today? I was always a big fan of the Gran Turismo series, you know, way back to the very first Gran Turismo. And it, for the most part, it was a pretty linear experience. It was an unbelievable franchise of racing games, but it was a very linear experience. Forza has their Forza Motorsport, which is their more linear, more true to racing experience. And then they have this Horizon series that is basically, it's like they took racing and Farmville and they put it together. And they're like, hey, you could race and you could see all your friends and you could do literally whatever the heck you want. Just drive around. It's like I said, it's one of those games where I look at it and I'm like, man, I want to buy an Xbox right now.
I don't blame you. I can't. I mean, I'm surprised, you know, that you don't. Because, you know, you've got everything else. You're really, you got to round out the collection. That would be my recommendation.
Well, it's funny because, you know, TJ talking about buying games, and I have, like, in the last 36 months, maybe a little less, in the last couple years, I have really curbed back the amount of games that I buy. I only really buy games. Like, I still haven't played God of War. Arguably probably going to be a top three finalist for game of the year on, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world. Amazing game. Haven't played it because I didn't have the time. You know, I'm like, I'll pick it up when it's on sale Black Friday for $30 and I'll eventually get around to playing it. I haven't played Spider-Man. I look at these games now.
That's a mistake.
I know.
That game is the best game I've played in years.
And I really want to play it, but it's just given the fact that I'm invested in Madden and NHL, and now I'm invested in Black Ops and soon to be invested in Red Dead and Fallout 76. I'm quite content with waiting to buy it on my terms.
I won't tell you not to. I'm just telling you that you really do need to make sure you play Spider-Man.
Well, and it's funny too, because a lot of people have said to me, well, you know, like, oh, I don't want to spoil the game for you. And it's like, oh no, I've watched 40 hours of people streaming it. Like, I'm at the age of my life where it's not, watching someone play a video game is not going to spoil it for me. We're to the point where I'm not going to pick it up and give it my own effort. But there's just so many good games in the sports realm, outside of the sports realm, on every platform imaginable. I mean, you know, you have the Switch, which is its own experience and has its own set of games. And, you know, it's funny because I think now that my kids have transitioned to the age where they're old enough to play games and they've taken an interest in it, that, like, I'm at the point in my life where picking up a Mario Party makes more sense than picking up a Spider-Man. Because Mario Party, we can play with all four of us, whereas Spider-Man is probably only something I'm going to enjoy. So it's just, again, it goes back to how amazing this landscape is we're in right now, where there's literally something for everybody in every situation.
So I'm also, of course, continuing my pro evolution. I mentioned I was on the road all week. So by the end of the night, Sunday night, I had two matches left in my Premier League season as Everton. I had really been running away with the league, but I stumbled just a little bit at like match 35, 36, 37, or no, 34, 35, 36. And somehow I went from being about 8 points clear of second place Arsenal. With two matches left, I'm now only 1 point clear of Arsenal. And guess who I play in match 37? Arsenal. So I might play that after we record the show, or I might wait till tomorrow on the treadmill. I'm not sure. But I could screw this up and actually not even win the Premier League if I somehow drop that match.
Confidence. You got to go into it with confidence.
No, right? I am confident. I am extremely confident. But what's weird is, I went through probably a 13 or 14 game streak of winning, then a couple of draws, and then more winning, and then so I've won a lot more matches than I haven't. But similar to how it used to be back in the day, sometimes you're just playing a match and you can tell that the CPU has decided that they're going to win, and it doesn't happen a lot, but a couple of times, including a match against Liverpool, where Liverpool beat me like 5-0. And I think ended a 9 or 10 match winning streak. So that's what I got. And then, you know, I'm going to Since I already crashed out of the FA Cup and there was no European competition, I'm going to roll right into the second season. I'm going to play two, and my goal in the second season is to win the treble. So to win the Premier League, to win the Champions League, because I'll be in the Champions League no matter what, because I'm going to finish at worst second, and to win the FA Cup. So that's what I'm going to pursue.
Rich, I've got great news.
Let's hear it.
Apparently, I have Microsoft reward points, which are a thing. So I just redeemed them for a month of Games Pass.
There you go. You'll be playing Forza Horizon 4 in no time, sir.
I don't know why I had 8,826 lifetime points, but
how do you?
I don't even know how you get them.
Well, how do you find them? Like, if I got some, I'll like pre-buy some stuff too, or whatever.
I don't even know.
That up. Good but stuff. Well, you're gonna love it.
They just sent me a blank email, so I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do with that. we're doing great so far.
So yeah, I'm
so far so good.
I'm gonna continue on Pez for another season, regardless of what happens. But I do hope that I win the Premier League, because that would be really ridiculous if I somehow screwed this up.
One of these years, I'm gonna have to get into Pro Evo, because that's the one sport that I'm really lacking from my Rolodex is football. And you know, it's just. I've always enjoyed like watching the Pro Evolution experience. It's just not something I've ever actually gotten firsthand.
Yeah.
I played the beta. I think was there a beta this year?
Yeah.
I know there was. Yeah. I think I've played the beta. I know I played it last year for sure. And maybe this year as well. And like I said, it's a very, very good game. I could see why you enjoy it so much.
Yeah. I mean, I just get into my zone. It's this zone that or you know, it's this experience. I understand it very well. I've played hundreds of matches in the last 3-4 years. I just enjoy it. I know not only how to play the game on the pitch, as it were, but I also, you know, have learned to the degree that I need to, the scouting system and the transfer window. And I've gotten good at making some money. And by making the money, you get to buy the players. Like, I've already added a couple of mid-80s level players to the team that were immediately the two best players on the club. And I'm going to add two or three more, because I've got a big old transfer budget heading into the second year of, like, I don't know, I think it's I think 90 million pounds or something like that. So I got plenty of money to spend. So I just sort of I figured out the two parts of the game that make it work for me, which is playing on the pitch and then understanding how to manage your franchise in a way that you can enjoy it. And of course it may sound like, well, duh, but you know, if you didn't grow up a European soccer fan, like I did not grow up a European soccer fan. I've really been watching it for the last, you know, 6 to 7 years with significant interest and understanding, but that's not that long. So, it's one of those places, one of those games that you just understand. And I've dabbled in their ultimate team mode, but I don't understand it. And the menus are very confusing to me. And I don't even sort of know how to do anything, but I do know that every time I do log in, because every time you give me like 500 points or whatever they are, whenever I log in, I can see like the results of my team that has been playing while I've been away, like robot teams and stuff. And I win more than I don't, which is weird, because I would think all of my really, really good players, you know, I have like 5 or 6 great players that I've gotten by, you know, the different awards and stuff, but they are all in like 10 game contracts. So you know, they must have played 30 or 40 matches by now. So I don't even understand how it works. And there's just, The interface doesn't teach me what to do. I'm sure I could Google it up and I could figure it out, but I haven't done that because I always wind up just going back to Master League. So,
yeah, I'm waiting. Hopefully they'll put out another light version.
I'm sure they will.
So I can jump into that. I think last year it came out like mid-November. So I would like to try that, because I liked their ideas that they had in, what was it called? Is it My Club?
Yes.
I like some of the ideas they had in there, but yeah, those menus were convoluted and your team plays when you're not there. So but I don't even know if when your team plays, that might not even be using your contract. So
I don't know
why.
I mean, probably not. but I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely want to hop into that and try that out. FIFA, I've been playing it a little bit, and it seems, you know, it's FIFA.
Yeah, FIFA's next, but I mean, FIFA's going to come for me after I do my second season, you know, treble or bust in Pro Evolution, because I've got it now. And then I want to play NHL, although a little less now after hearing Chris's concerns about it.
I mean, the thing is for me is with the NHL experience, if you're playing it for franchise, I mean, the best experience is still the off-ice portion of it anyway, which I think they have taken to a whole other level. And I kid you not when I say NHL has the best franchise mode available on console right now. And I will defend that, right, you know, because the things that they've done, especially with this version, if every other development team is not trying to figure out how to get Fog of War in their franchise mode, they are doing their community's disservice, because it adds such an intricate layer of management. I've always said that the best thing a developer can do is give me different ways to manage my team. You know, with Madden this year, they introduced the schemes and, you know, the different ways that people progress, you know, through upgrades. And that was a different way to manage my team. I was a big fan of that. The Fog of War element fundamentally changes your day-to-day management of your hockey club, and in a very, very good way, because every single scout that you have and every way that you utilize them has a cause and effect with something that's going to happen in the future. So, you know, like previously in every other sports game, let's say you're getting close to the trade deadline in whatever sport it is, and you need to bolster your lineup. You need a first baseman, or you need a wide receiver, or you need a, you know, backup shooting guard. You go out on the market and you look at whoever's available, and that's fine. But in NHL, let's say if you need a second line center, you had better have your scouts out there scouting the rest of the league, because you don't immediately have access to everybody's attributes. So you could make a mistake and actually get a guy who, with your minimal scouting, shows up as an 83 overall, but is actually only a 77 and has a bad contract. And all of a sudden you've given up assets for someone that's not who you thought they were. Like, it really fundamentally changes how you manage your team. And I think, like, honestly, like if you're jumping into NHL now, and that's kind of your thing, like you're getting into it more for that general managerial aspect, you absolutely will not be disappointed. Don't let the slight curtails of the last few weeks of the gameplay ruin that, because the GM aspect of it is absolutely top notch.
What will be interesting for me is, so I was playing, you know, Pro Evo is my treadmill game. And as I mentioned a couple times now, I only work out on the treadmill at home now, usually once, maybe twice a week, because I work out at the office or when I'm traveling, you know, at the hotel or whatever I am. So it's been less, which is why it's taking me so long to get the end of the first year. But I had been playing NBA 2K19, right, as my sort of just playing, you know, when I have the chance to sit down and play, until Spider-Man took over that slot. So once I'm done with Spider-Man, and I'm looking to be, you know, at 100% of that within the next week or two, is when, you know, I'll have a choice to make. Do I go back to NBA 2K, my career, for my off the treadmill gaming time, or will it be one of the, you know, five games coming out between now and then? So TJ, you mentioned at the top that NBA 2K, my career in particular, you just continue to play it. I love it. I've been raving about it for weeks on here. Obviously haven't made any progress this week because I haven't been here, but I'm going to jump back in. What is it about it? Like, well, you talked a little bit about it, but where exactly are you? Like, what season and what position are you? I don't know if you mentioned that. And like, what is it about it that's appealing to you? Because, sorry for the long rambling question, You have not been an NBA 2K player in years past. You've tried it many times, and it's just sort of not found its way in your rotation. So with that as the backdrop, what is it that you're doing, or what are you enjoying so much this year?
Well, still season one. I believe I'm on game 28 right now. I accidentally simmed one, so I kind of feel bad about that. But yeah, as you said, I have not loved this series, mainly because of the controls and stuff. But I think I said it a couple episodes ago, just playing my career and only having to focus on the one player and not having to think about everything else that's going on in the court, I think has really focused me and got me into the gameplay a lot more than it ever has before. I am a power forward, and forgive me because I don't know basketball things. I think he's driving and finishing, so he can do a lot of layups and dunks. But then he also has like a spot of 3-point shooting. So if you leave me open, I will make that shot out there. And like when I first told people about that build, they were all like, oh, well, that's stupid. You should either go like this way or that way. And it felt like everybody's build was like very much doing one thing or another thing. And the reason I built it like this was because I could be the guy that goes down in the paint, but then I could also, you know, shoot a decent distance jumper and make shots. And something that I really like, and I wish they would surface more during the game, is when you get subbed in, or when someone else gets subbed in my career that you're going to defend, they like let you look at like the matchup between the two of you. And I haven't been able to find another way to see that screen during the game other than when they prompt you, like right when the person comes in, and it tells you like what you are good at and what he is good at. So you can see what you're going to do. Like with trying to think of a good example, I just played the Timberwolves, if I'm not mistaken, with so I was guarding Taj Gibson, and he cannot shoot from the outside, and he can also not defend from the outside. So I know that on defense, all I have to do is try to keep him out of the paint and as far away from the hoop as possible, and he's going to be ineffective. And I also know on offense that I can just play out a little further and take my jump shots, and he's not going to really be able to do anything about me. And I know that if I try to go inside, he's going to stop me. And I should, like, even though I am very good at going inside, I also know he's a very good inside defender, so I will just take my chances with my mid-range jumpers and just knock those down. And it's just been a real learning experience about basketball things. Like, I'm trying to think, because there was another game where I played someone who was the opposite, who was a good outside shooter, but could not play in the paint at all. So I literally scored 21. The first 21 points I scored 20 in the paint, and one was on a foul shot, because I just knew he could not stop me there. But I also knew that I had to play defense out on the 3-point line most of the game to keep it down. So, yeah, I've been learning a lot about the real NBA and the gameplay of this game, which has been like a real learning experience, and I'm really having a lot of fun with it. I have not had this much fun like learning about a game and the real life sport around it since like FIFA, what was it, 2010 World Cup South Africa. So it's been real good. I've been listening to my my Ringer podcast. I'm very excited for next Tuesday's NBA Showpalooza. Maybe I'll learn some more things about people. Just very excited. NBA seems like a thing that I almost might be interested in. I might actually watch a game at some point.
The NBA is at its height right now. I mean, it is so entertaining on the court. There's so many great players. Yes, the Warriors are a super team, but that in and of itself is amazing because it's unique, or not unique, but certainly is rare to have a team like that. And then, of course, obviously you've got the Rockets, and you've got the Celtics, and you've got the Lakers with LeBron, and there's so many interesting stories. It's such a personality driven league right now, and there are you've got Milwaukee. There's so many interesting stories. Yes, we all know the Warriors are going to win the title again, but other than that, there's still it's so many interesting things. So yeah, it's a great time to follow the NBA because it's very entertaining.
And what's really cool, as someone who, you know, I play a lot of FIFA, I play a lot of MLB, I play a lot of Madden. Those are big team sports.
So yeah, you're right.
If I'm an amazing quarterback and my wide receiver's trash, I'm still going to have problems. But the NBA, like, you can just be real good and carry your team. And that intrigues me. And then also from listening to, like, all the Bill Simmons podcasts, like, this one guy feels a little slighted and he's going to now play harder, probably. And it's like, that's so, and that can actually be a thing. Like, if a left tackle feels slighted, he can't really do anything to make the team win. But in basketball, if you feel slighted and you're good, you can just take over a game and change everything.
Yep. So
it's an interesting dynamic that I have not had in sports video games, and having not really watched a ton of basketball, I have not seen it in action. Chris, is that the same? Can you do that in NHL? Like, if you have one dude, can you just dominate? You still have to have good passing and puck movement and a good goalie.
I would say probably not likely. I think given, like, it's starting to, the NHL, like IRL, is starting to move back towards like a more speed, offensive focus game. So I think that given the current landscape, it's starting to move towards being possible where like superstar elite level players can have a greater impact on the game.
Look, I'll tell you this. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll let you get right back onto it. Taylor Hall, absolutely single-handedly through his sheer talent and will, got the New Jersey Devils into the playoffs last year. They had to win like 10 of their last 11 games to get in. And you are so right, Chris. There, to me, it's more than ever. You can name like 7 or 8 players who are like that level that you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like in the last couple of years we've seen a, you know, hockey has always been, I guess every major sport is, but hockey seems to be one of the most dramatic sports with being cyclical in terms of how the game is played. You know, the 80s were extremely ridiculously offensive. Then you went into the, you know, almost like a dead puck era where every game seemed to be 1-0. You know, and then offense kind of went up again and then kind of went down again. And now it especially early on in this season, it's at an all-time high. I mean, you already have, you know, fistfuls of players on a team with, you know, double digits of points, and they've played like 3 games. I still think basketball is that one, like it still has that ability for a player to take over. And I think it's because basketball tends to lend itself more to like to that isolation type of game where you can literally just move everyone else to the other side of the court and let LeBron have the basketball and do his thing. Hockey, that just, you just don't see that. It just doesn't work. But it's not ridiculously out of the question. But you are right that basketball has that unique aspect where one player can really, really just put the team on their back.
Well, I mean, most of the time in the NBA history, the best player wins the title. I mean, that, you know what I mean? Like, generally speaking, if you look at the team that wins the title, they have the best player. It's really only been, what I'm saying is it hasn't been that way the last few years. And I say that because I don't think, even though he won an MVP, I think Steph Curry is a legendary Hall of Fame player, but I don't think he's better than LeBron James. I think LeBron James is the best player. He's won, obviously, a couple of titles at a couple of different places. But like historically, you know, when the Celtics won 10 in a row, they won it because of Bill Russell. And, you know, when the Lakers won it, they won it because of Magic Johnson. You know, obviously other great players on that team, but he was the best. And when the Celtics, the mid-80s Celtics, they won it because of Bird. And again, you know, other players on the teams. But so, yeah, basketball has always favored, like, if you got the best player, your chances of winning are much higher in basketball than if you got the best baseball, hockey, or football player, because there's just so many more factors in other sports than there are in basketball, where your sheer athletic skill, if you are transcendent, can do different things. Sorry, TJ, I cut you off.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it this year in baseball. You could have an unbelievable pitcher who's out there doing things never seen before, never let up more than four runs in a game. I think only had one game where he let up four runs in a game. But his offense on his team was just so anemic that it didn't really matter. Rich, do you remember who that was off the top of your head?
He won 10 games. He finished over 500. So, hey. I mean, it was looking much worse for much of the season for DeGrom. Yes, I do know who you're referring to, sir.
I still contend if Jacob DeGrom could have got back to his like career batting average of like 120 rather than the 80 he hit this year, I think he would have won at least two more games.
I was just going to say, too, that would have been, yep, you're right. Because he drove it, yeah. Yeah,
That year they went to the 10. World Series, those pitchers all drove in runs that was the only way they could score.
They absolutely did. Absolutely did.
You just couldn't do it this year.
Well, good stuff, gentlemen. So
I have one more question.
Oh, go for it.
Chris, where are we feeling about WWE 2K19 right now?
Oh, man.
Because I am like at the point where it's like, I almost kind of want to try it.
It's, you know,
I don't love that idea.
Here's the thing. I'll try to keep it majority positive. They have made some very nice, interesting additions to the career mode. They've made it more fun. The introduction of not fully voiced over, but a lot of the characters within the career mode have voiceovers. That's a very nice addition. It adds to the immersion a little bit. My biggest thing, man, is the loading times in that game have been a huge drawback every release of this generation. It's like literally like you will sit through a 30-second load time for it to pop up the next day, followed by 15 seconds of loading. It's the gameplay in the ring is still somewhat similar. It's been improved and it's been streamlined a little more. I think it feels... the flow of a match is improved, which I think was one of the biggest detriments to WWE 2K18 was that, you know, given the complex control scheme, it really ruined the flow of a match, which, by the way, is a complaint that's often heard about 2K basketball, that the complex control will often ruin the flow of your offense. But that's been improved slightly. But I think for me, it's still a wait till it's on sale. It's just not a game that I'm willing to spend $80 Canadian to play a career mode that, even though it's vastly improved, you know, this is the loading, and it's just one of those things where, you know what, I'm still firmly planted on the fence of WWE 2K at this point.
Yeah, I want to try it, but everything I've heard, the loading times are still bad. And I don't know if it was you, but didn't somebody say, like, even on the Xbox One X,
yes,
loading times are still bad?
Yes. The majority of the loading times I've seen have been on the 8.5 generations of consoles. So a 1X or a Pro. So I could only imagine what it's like on an OG PS4 or an OG Xbox One.
Yeah, because last year...
it could be heinous.
Last year it was so bad on PS4 that I literally stopped playing after like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And still, the thing that angered me the most out of anything in that game was... everybody's like, oh, it's just because you're using a custom wrestler. It's like, well, they have bad rosters and they have my career mode, which is for you to be a custom wrestler. It's like, what?
It's one of those franchises that you know what? It's funny. WWE 2K is very comparable to MLB The Show in the sense that, you know, given the exclusivity of the license, people still buy the game. It's the only WWE game you can buy. Mm-hmm. Whereas MLB The Show is the only MLB game you could buy. But here's the thing is, you know, it's WWE at this point. We know what we're going to get. It's not, they haven't done anything to reinvent the series, which a lot of people are at the point with that particular franchise that they're looking for that one big innovation that revitalizes the franchise. Because otherwise, I mean, hey, great, we got voiceover wrestlers in career mode. And then everyone's like, what else you got? Because otherwise it's the same game.
Yeah.
I feel like they've hit the wall.
Yeah. 2 points I'd like to make. One quick, one semi quick. I find it utterly hilarious that they put out a game with the then now forever WWE video the exact same day that they stopped using that video.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's some A+ marketing right there. You would think WWE would know that they're going to change the video or to maybe change it like a couple weeks later and not literally the same day that the game came out. And my other thing is the loading times are atrocious. But let me tell you something. The NBA 2K loading times aren't that much better.
Yeah.
But they have little things going on. Every time you jump into a loading screen, you're watching something. I got, what's her name? Rachel Demetria? Something like that. She's talking to me. I got these guys in the booth coming up and talking to me. I got, what I just watched, a clip of Bill Simmons talking to Ernie Johnson. Is that the guy? Some guy. I'm watching that. There's stuff going on during these loading screens. But from what I remember of WWE games past, and I don't think I've seen a loading screen in this game yet because I have not looked at for a loading screen yet, but I'm pretty sure they're just static images and a spinny thing, right? So yeah. Just hide it. Just hide it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where, like I said, I'm not supremely active in the WWE 2K community. But that community is pretty fed up with the product. And the thing is that a lot of them actually were surprised that WWE provided the talent for the voiceovers. Because, I mean, if you watch WWE product on TV, they've done this big shift the last couple of years where you could tell they're doing these obvious shows for money grabs now. You know, the Saudi Arabia show that they did last year and they're doing in a few weeks, the Australia Super Show, large revenue moments for the company. You know, they've kind of looked at this game as like, well, you know, they sell copies, you know, 2K gets a cut. We're making nothing on it. So a lot of people were really surprised that they provided the talent to do the voiceovers in the first place. That a lot of people were of the opinion that WWE was more content to just let the franchise die. And be like, well, we don't need to have a video game because, you know, we're making pennies on these games because no one's buying them and nobody likes them. But, you know, it's as long as WWE 2K is the only game in town, people are going to keep shelling out the $60 to buy it.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see. I have not checked Matt Piscatella's reports. I do kind of want to know how Fire Pro did on PlayStation.
Yeah.
I assume probably not great, but would be something interesting to check out. Maybe for PAX East, I'll bring a console and we'll Redbox WWE. I don't know if you have Redbox in Canada, but we'll get it for a couple nights and see.
Good thing PAX East isn't in Canada, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, we have a tweet from our good friend, longtime friend, and your once and future podcast partner, TJ Scott Binns, you know him. He says, hey, what is one little thing they can never seem to get right that drives you nuts? For me, it's base running in MLB. Base runners never make mistakes that make them easy to double off or overslide a base. Everyone has pretty much a perfect IQ on the bases.
So it's funny. It's funny that he mentioned that because I think what was it? When everybody's complaining about Angel Hernandez, possibly because he's the worst umpire ever. I was reminded of a episode of That Sports Gamer Show that we did. I don't remember the number off the top of my head. Just go to thatsportsgamer.com and search for Porter Callahan. You'll find an episode called Screwed by Porter Callahan, where I think we're talking about MLB 12. And one of the things he mentions in that show from 6 years ago is wanting this stuff. And
it's hilarious that you mentioned that because the exact second that you mentioned that, there was just a horrible strike three call in the Dodgers Brewers game.
Hey, man, things happen.
Like exactly as you were saying that.
And I literally am now seeing Kratz just got screwed in my tweets.
Yeah, it was a bad call. Almost like it meant it all happened just right on cue, you know?
I think you got to swing at that on a 3-2 count myself, but, you know, I'm a little more old school.
You got to swing. You got to swing.
Yeah. So
I'll let Chris answer first because I don't have an answer.
Well, actually, let me put this in there. And I've talked about this already this year. It's to me, it's the Madden receivers running out of bounds in patterns to the flat because it still happens this year, or at least, you know, I haven't played Madden for a bit. But it was happening to me. You know, you throw the ball to either the running back who's running, you know, out of the flat, and by the time the ball gets to him, he's run out of bounds.
Yeah.
And he catches it out of bounds. Sometimes it's a tight end. It just that's mine, right? It's just thing that it's driven me crazy, and I'm far from the only one, and it continues to be a thing.
It's funny.
It is still an issue.
It's funny because they know it's such a problem that they've even put in a trait for players to be aware of the sideline. All players shouldn't be aware of where the sideline is.
Right. And that just, it must be, and I think we've even talked about this, it must be just a software thing that can't be adjusted because they are clearly aware of it. If I can see it, certainly they know about it, right? I mean, and the community, because it's been there forever. It must just be some sort of a set of variables being thrown at their engine that they can't. I don't know. It's just strange how something like that would persist for so long. So that's mine.
For me, my biggest thing that they never seem to get right is Sony San Diego never seems to get right how to get the AI to bullpen properly. It's infuriating that you're in a 6-4 game and they bring their lefty specialist in to start the ninth inning, which rarely happens. You're going to the closer in that situation. It's just it's frustrating to play through an MLB The Show franchise, and it seems like almost every game the CPU makes questionable bullpen decisions. And I know every year they tout that they make tweaks to it, but it never seems quite right. And as a baseball fan, it's just one of those things that absolutely drives me nuts.
All right, let me get back on the WWE 2K bandwagon.
Uh-oh.
What's with the hair? Are we ever going to figure that out? Because it's bad. That hair looks bad. It's looked bad for a long time. I still contend that the only reason Triple H shaved his head was because he looked ridiculous in those video games. I don't know what the... I still feel like the N64 wrestling games had better hair than the current wrestling games.
I was just going to say that. WCW NWO had better hair than 2018 wrestling games.
Oh my God. Now they're just like... stringy and they look drippy. I don't even know how to describe that. And also let me just in case my buddy Jeff is listening, CPU defenders on your pro clubs team in FIFA always been trash, always gonna be trash, don't matter who you got.
There you go.
That's very it. Good. All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. TJ Lowerman, That Sports Gamer. Where can everybody find you, follow you, and watch all of your goings on?
Just hit me up on Twitter at That Sports Gamer. And then I will tell people to go to youtube.com/That Sports Gamer because I am extremely close to having a hat from every single MLB team or every single active MLB team. I just got the package today of my Royals hat and my White Sox hat. I'm very excited about that. That leaves me with only the Pirates still to buy.
Are you going old school, you know, three yellow lines across the top of the hat?
Pirates? So I was thinking about doing that.
The We Are Family.
Because they have those and they have them with the flat top that they had. Which is kind of cool. Just don't know how that would work with my hat setup right now. So I am looking at that. I am looking at the 2019 batting practice hats are out. I might get one of those. They're all gray with the blue P, the yellow P. But also, my favorite new place to purchase hats, hatclub.com, has the... they've started putting World Series patches on hats that didn't have them. Because, as you obviously know, World Series patches on hats were supposed to start in 1994. Didn't happen. Started in 95. But they've gone back and retroactively put patches on hats. So they have a 1960 Pirates hat with the 1960 World Series logo patch on it.
That was the series where they beat the Yankees on a walk-off ninth inning home run by Bill Mazeroski.
Yeah, which was 35 years old when that game happened.
I was actually at the game at Ford's Field. I was. Yeah, I remember it well. I charged the field afterwards. It was quite an impactful day.
Yeah, Hat Club has that hat. It's $15, but they only have sizes 7 7/8 and 8, which is both way too big for my head, but they're 100% wool, so in theory, it would shrink and maybe be better. So I don't know. But I've done some video reviews of the last couple hats, so I'm going to do these two, whatever I get for the Pirates, and then maybe I'm going to start going back through my collection, because I don't love buying just like the home or the away hat. So for every team I have, or for the majority of the teams, I always have like something, either like a throwback, or I got this year's batting practice hat for the Rockies, which has the Colorado state flag in the mountains, which Rich, obviously as a Devils fan, you remember where the Devils came from.
Yeah, well, before Colorado, they were in Kansas City, but yes, they were the Colorado Rockies for a couple, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, so the batting practice logo that they, or the logo on the batting practice hat is essentially the NHL Colorado Rockies logo, but that one was a little bit taller. This one's a little bit, this is like normal Rockies logo. Yeah, the majority of my hats are like not the home or the away. Like I have the Astros, what was it? The prototype version of the hat that would have gone with the Tequila Sunrise jerseys back when they came out. I'm trying to think what else we got here. I think it's 1967 Cardinals version of their hat, but you know, some interesting stuff. I'm having fun doing the little videos for them. So I'm going to keep doing that. And then Extra Life. Extra Life's good coming. Stuff. Be ready.
Mr. Chris Jardine, Snaggle J, where can people find you, follow you, and see everything you're doing?
Well, between the 6 to 8 week spans where I'm not on the Press Row podcast, people can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube, all at Snaggle J. Pretty straightforward. I learned all my social media branding from That Sports Gamer himself. And actually, recently, I have started a spinoff, so to speak, podcast called The Virtual Athlete. It's kind of more opinion-based weekly podcast talking about sports video gaming news. You can find that at anchor.fm/virtualathlete. I'm having a lot of fun doing that. We have some really good stuff planned for the next couple weeks. So that's kind of where I'm spending most of my time. And I've actually been enjoying getting back into watching real sports a little bit now that hockey season is fired up, as Rich mentioned earlier, minus that 6-0 drubbing that the Devils.
Look, just like my Philadelphia Eagles are the reigning champs during the new season, your Washington Capitals, well-deserving reigning champs. I mean, come on. There's nothing like when your team is the champion in the following season. Yeah, no, it's like a victory lap.
Nobody wins a championship in October. You know, that's so, right. But the Devils are a formidable team. I think they're good. I think they're probably I think they're probably the third best team in that division, which is saying a lot because that division is loaded.
Totally.
I think they're just a step below Washington and Pittsburgh.
They need a goaltender.
Well, and that's the thing. The trade deadline is always coming. But no, you know what? I'm staying busy. I'm at the point, you know what? I really, the last month or 6 weeks, I've just been having a lot of fun playing video games. There's just so many really good games right now. And I've been having a lot of fun streaming. And I'm, like I said, I'm really looking forward. I was really looking forward to Black Ops. And it hasn't disappointed so far. I'm looking forward to some of the games coming out, like I mentioned earlier, like Red Dead, Fallout 76, Smash Brothers. And I mean, you know, it's just, it's a wonderful time to have anything to do with video games, playing them, talking about them, sports games, non-sports games. It's just a really, 2018 has been a great year for video games so far. And it's funny because I started, you know, today, started making my notes, you know, sports game of the year. Pretty much all the sports games we're going to be talking about are out now. So it's time to start thinking about, you know, which ones are starting to move to the top of the heap and kind of revisiting a few sports games from earlier in the year. And the cycle continues, I suppose.
Yes, it does. And of course, unless this is your first time listening to the show, and if it is, thank you for doing that. TJ is the Out of the Park Developments baseball community manager. And Chris is the associate baseball community manager. And between the two of them, they form the best community management team in the industry. They do an amazing job live streaming on Monday nights and Tuesday nights. And that's not good enough for them. Now they're just like, you know what? We're going to design this game too. And they're doing amazing stuff behind the scenes that is going to make Out of the Park baseball even better in the future. And I love working with you guys. You guys are fantastic. And so if you have the chance, check out what they do on Monday nights and Tuesday nights for Out of the Park Baseball over on Twitch, and it's backed up to YouTube. Thank you guys for doing that. You do an amazing job.
We only do it for you, Rich, because we love you.
Yes. It's, you know, well, that's like, it's funny. We made it through the entire podcast, and I think we didn't forget to mention our.
No, not at all.
Piece of, but it's funny, you know, being in the height, it's such a excellent game to be part of and such a rewarding experience to be able to share that. And yeah, I really do think everyone should tune in to twitch.tv/OOTP developments, not diminishing what TJ's doing, but Tuesday night, 8:30 PM Eastern time, twitch.tv/OOTP developments. I am in the 2023 National League Championship Series with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Sounds pretty familiar.
It's, you know, we're 5 years out. We have a very, very large test in front of us. We have not made it to the World Series yet. So
hey, one day, kiddo.
We're working on it. So hey, if you're in that playoff mood, swing by twitch.tv/OTB developments Tuesday night, 8:30 PM Eastern time, and try to will me in the chat to the World Series.
Love it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, we really appreciate it. It's amazing how many episodes we've made and how many people reach out to me and say, you know, that how much they enjoy the show. And it's just an honor to keep on doing this thing every week. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Special thanks to our sponsor, Nighthawk Pro Gaming by Netgear. Give your gaming PC the bandwidth it deserves. The XR500 is rated the top performing gaming router by PC Gamer. You can trust that this router won't let anything on your network prevent you from having the ultimate gaming experience. So visit netgear.com/NPG and learn how you can join the No Lag crew today. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible.